Today is Wednesday, January 13th. What's happening today in the effort to impeach President Trump for the second time? And what Vice President Mike Pence is now saying publicly about removing Trump from office early? Also, new criminal charges could be coming in the Flint, Michigan water scandal. We'll explain. Plus, the CDC says it's time to get more adults vaccinated. Who's next in line? Which sport kicks off a new season today and how it'll look different? And who's hiring? LinkedIn provides the top cities to get a job. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Well, this morning, the House is set to vote on impeaching President Trump for the second time. It comes exactly 1 week after the deadly attack on the U.S. Capitol and exactly 1 week before President-elect Biden takes over. Most, if not all, House Democrats are expected to vote for impeachment, saying President Trump incited the riot. And unlike last time, a White House official told CNN they expect about 20 House Republicans to go along with it as well. But The Hill reports a majority of Republicans are still against impeachment. For example, the top Republican in the House, Congressman Kevin McCarthy, says impeachment would, quote, have the opposite effect of bringing our country together. Still, with a majority of Dems in the House and some Republicans on board, it's very likely President Trump will become the first U.S. president to ever be impeached twice. And then it's expected to go to the Senate right away, who ultimately makes the call about conviction and removal from office. Now, remember, by the time the Senate would likely make a decision, Trump would already be out of the White House anyway. Still, the Senate's decision could impact Trump's government benefits and whether he would be allowed to run for president again. For now, as the House prepares to impeach, President Trump is defending himself. In his first comments to reporters since last week's violence, the president called it all a, quote, continuation of the greatest witch hunt in the history of politics. And he said his speech at the rally moments before the riot started was totally appropriate. Trump also called for no violence, telling his supporters that his platform is focused around law and order. And by the way, it looks like the option to remove Trump with the 25th Amendment is now off the table. Vice President Mike Pence won't do it. In a letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Pence said it would set a terrible precedent, and he accused Democrats of playing political games. The House voted anyway on a measure to try to convince Pence to help, and it passed, but it likely won't make a difference. Now the U.S. House is focused on impeachment today, so stay tuned. The Justice Department is getting deeper into what's now being called one of the most expansive criminal investigations in its history. Prosecutors say looking into the U.S. Capitol invasion has been unprecedented. Their probe now includes more than 170 suspects, and officials call that the tip of the iceberg. The Justice Department says it has law enforcement task forces pursuing sedition and conspiracy charges. Those are felonies that can be punishable by up to 20 years in prison. Of course, there are other prosecutors devoted to charging rioters who assaulted police officers and members of the media as well. And the Justice Department is still investigating the death of a Capitol police officer as a murder case. Meanwhile, the criticism about how the Capitol riot was originally handled continues. The Washington Post got a hold of an internal FBI warning issued one day before the riot. It warned that extremists were preparing for violence and so-called war at the Capitol. One law enforcement official told the Post, it's clear there was a high-level failure ahead of last week's chaos. But at least one FBI official disagreed. He said there was not much they could do at the time since they didn't know who made the comments online. Either way, security is getting tighter throughout D.C. Today, federal authorities plan to lock down a massive area of downtown before President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration ceremony next week. And thousands of National Guard members are already in town helping out. A new report says criminal charges are coming soon for top officials during the Flint, Michigan water crisis. The AP cites sources who say there are plans to prosecute former Michigan Governor Rick Snyder, his health director, and other leaders. This whole thing dates back to 2014 and ultimately devastated the city with water full of lead and bacteria. It was also blamed for a deadly outbreak of Legionnaire's disease. The state had switched Flint's water source without telling people who lived there. It was meant to cut costs and was supposed to be temporary, but the water was not treated properly. And to make things even worse, people in Flint complained about brown, foul-smelling water for more than a year before the state acknowledged the problem and switched their water source back. Now, Michigan's attorney general is working to hold some public officials accountable. So far, the AP has not confirmed exactly what charges they could be facing, but former Governor Snyder's lawyer is already preparing to fight back. He released a statement calling any criminal prosecution outrageous. So why are new charges expected now, so many years later? Well, back in 2019, prosecutors said the former attorney general had mismanaged the investigation into this. So the whole thing had to start over under a new attorney general. We have some promising news in the fight against cancer. Researchers now say they're seeing a record decline in cancer deaths here in the U.S. New data from the American Cancer Society shows between 2017 and 2018, the death rate fell 2.4%. That's the biggest drop ever. So what's behind this? Well, researchers say it's largely because fewer people are getting and dying from lung cancer since fewer people are smoking. And beyond that, the American Cancer Society says treatment for cancer in general is getting better. New drugs are improving survival rates, plus radiation and surgery are getting more and more precise. We also have better diagnoses these days. More news is coming up, but first, this episode is made possible thanks to our sponsor, Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company for people who are ready to step up their skincare. Whether it's dealing with acne or other skincare goals like getting rid of redness, wrinkles, or dark spots, you simply fill out a questionnaire, set in some makeup-free selfies, and then you'll get treated right away, and your medications are quickly delivered right to your door. And yes, Apostrophe offers both topical and oral medications, depending on what's needed for your personalized plan. So I did this mostly as a preventative measure. Then the dermatologist even noticed some things I wasn't aware of. And when I had questions, she got back to me quickly with all the answers. And right now, you can get $15 off your first visit with a board-certified dermatologist at apostrophe.com/newsworthy and use our code newsworthy. To get started, just go to apostrophe.com/newsworthy, click begin visit, then use the code newsworthy at sign up and you'll get $15 off your dermatology visit. That's APOSTROPHE, apostrophe.com/newsworthy, and use the code newsworthy to get your dermatology visit for $15 off. Now, back to the news. More states around the country are starting to expand who's eligible for a COVID-19 vaccine, and the CDC is encouraging even more states to do the same. Yes, the CDC has now put out new guidelines that say everyone 65 and older, as well as adults of all ages with pre-existing conditions like diabetes, should be able to get the shots now. But so far, most states are still focused on round one, vaccinating healthcare workers and people who live in retirement homes. But Trump administration officials say that's created a bottleneck. So now states should not wait to finish the first phase before moving on to the second. One analogy compared it to airlines starting to board the next group of people while the first group is still finding their seats. Already, states like Florida, Texas, and New York have expanded eligibility. But if you want to know exactly who's eligible, you have to check locally because it can even vary from county to county. California's Disneyland Resort will transform into a mass vaccination site. The popular theme park has been closed for 10 months now due to the pandemic, so Orange County, California is putting the resort to good use. The LA Times says healthcare workers will start vaccinating thousands of people a day there by the end of this week. It's not the only unique vaccination center popping up either. In California, New York, Arizona, and Florida, sports stadiums are getting converted into mass distribution sites. In Texas and Kentucky, it's the state fairgrounds turning into drive-through vaccination sites. Up in New Jersey, malls are now vaccination hubs, and other states are relying on convention centers. It's official now. The NBA is tightening its COVID-19 rules. This is because a bunch of players have now either tested positive or been exposed to the virus, and it's forced at least 5 games to be postponed in the last few weeks. So here are just a few of the new rules introduced. Players are now required to wear masks on the bench and in the locker room, while coaches have to wear theirs at all times. And when teams are on the road, players are being told to stay in their hotels and basically only come out for practice and games. Pre-game meetings in the locker room will be limited to 10 minutes. Again, that's just a few of the new rules taking effect for at least the next 2 weeks. Hockey is back. The National Hockey League begins a new season today. Of course, expect things to look quite different because of the pandemic. There will only be 56 games this season. That's 26 fewer than normal. The NHL is also taking steps to limit player travel. It has now split teams into 4 new divisions based on location before they'll eventually branch out for the playoffs. An iconic street in the heart of Paris, France, will soon get a facelift. We're talking about the Champs-Élysées, what's often called the most beautiful avenue in the world. It's gone three decades without a major overhaul, but this week, the city's mayor gave a green renovation project the go-ahead, saying it'll ultimately look like an extraordinary garden. The plans include adding greenery, widening pedestrian sidewalks, and cutting vehicle traffic in half. That said, the project will not get started right away. The city wants to finish up other work first ahead of the 2024 Olympics in Paris. So the makeover will likely get underway in 2025. And that's it for the main news today. But now it's time for Work Wednesday, when we break down one interesting career or work-related news story every Wednesday. But first, this episode is brought to you by 1010. You may have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or are on the hunt for the perfect ring to wear forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Okay, now back to Work Wednesday. And today we're talking about the U.S. cities that seem to be creating the most jobs despite the chaos of the last year. LinkedIn put together a list of the top 15 cities that have churned out the most job postings and hired the most people in 2020 using data on its own platform. It found the cities with the best job markets are Seattle, Austin, Texas, Boston, the San Francisco Bay Area, and Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. It's not much of a surprise that Seattle sits at the top of the list since Amazon is based in the Seattle region. And as you know, the online retailer had incredible growth in 2020. In fact, Amazon is now Washington State's largest corporate employer, overtaking Boeing. Meanwhile, San Francisco made it to the top five with all the tech companies there, who also grew during our new normal. Austin, Texas is seeing a surging job market because it's become a hotspot for companies to move. It's mostly because Texas has lower housing costs, tax rates, and regulations than other states like California. Other top-ranked cities like Madison, Wisconsin, and Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, are seeing a little growth here and there in industries across the board, from education to science to hospitality. All right, thank you so much for listening today and for telling other people about the Newsworthy. We so appreciate it. We'll catch you up on more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.